1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Just hours to go until the midnight deadline, and congressional Republicans and Democrats are still far apart on a government funding deal. CBS's Tina Kraus.
If there is a shutdown, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid payments will continue, though national parks and museums will close.
President Trump and Defense Secretary Hegseth are expected to address military leaders from around the world when they gather at Quantico Marine Base in Virginia next hour. Military analyst Jeff McCausland.
This is unprecedented. In fact, unprecedented doesn't describe this.
Pentagon hasn't given a reason for the meeting. Federal troops set to deploy to Tennessee as part of the president's crackdown on crime. CBS's Nicole Valdez is in Memphis.
Those National Guardsmen who are expected to be in the city at some point this week are, we're told, not going to be making arrests, nor will they be armed unless local law enforcement asks them to be.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials are warning residents that flu activity will begin increasing rapidly over the next few weeks. Joanne Krulatz reports.
On Tuesday, the agency reported that flu activity was minimal and stable currently, but other respiratory illness activity, like COVID-19, is growing. Officials are reminding residents to take steps to protect themselves against respiratory illnesses, like ensuring they are up to date on vaccines, thoroughly washing their hands regularly, and staying home when they're sick to help prevent further spread.
The Public Service Commission voted last week to approve the first wind farm since 2011. Isabella Nieto reports.
According to a statement from Clean Wisconsin, the Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center project will be located in Iowa and Grant counties. The commission also approved Whitewater Solar, a solar farm on the borders of Walworth and Jefferson counties. The approval comes after Clean Wisconsin released a report on the local environmental benefits of solar farms, showing how this project will improve water quality in the area.
Gas prices have fallen 6.3 cents per gallon over the last week. The average at the pump on Monday clocks in at $2.82 per gallon. This is 17.8 cents lower than a month ago and over 25 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say this notable drop in most states is due to seasonal factors. That includes the switch to cheaper winter gasoline and falling demand. While these factors have caused relief at the pump, officials will continue to monitor the tropics for potential disruptions to seasonal trends. Prices in central Wisconsin range from $2.69 to $2.72 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks are new and improved. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. That's the message Bucks GM John Horsehead telling reporters on how they've revamped the roster after releasing Damian Lillard.
We have even more shooting this year than we had last year. Obviously highlighted by the Miles Turner acquisition, which was huge for us. He really fits us as a person, as a player, age-wise on the timeline of the rest of our team. Doc said yesterday he's actually younger than Giannis, which is great.
NFL, the Packers' Micah Parsons says he wants to meet this week with defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley after Green Bay allowed the Cowboys to score 40 points Sunday night.
We're just sitting down talking for 10-15 minutes together post game, and just like I said, bro, I want to meet with you one-on-one. That's the same thing I used to do with Zimmer, same thing I did with Dan Quinn, just about like what he sees, what I see. I'll take my personal time so that we can build that relationship together. But you know, it's something that I do want to hope throughout this bye week that we come back and we start doing more things together.
That's the Packers' Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 79 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low dropping into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and once again mild, our high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Morehouse
and Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by the executive director of Block, Angela Lang. We discuss the current state of the gubernatorial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you along back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 30th, 2025. We've got a guest standing by from Main Street Alliance talking about what some of these potential cuts and a government shutdown could do in the real world here in Wisconsin to daycare providers, parents, and others. That's coming up in just a little bit. We'll also be talking to State Representative Angela Stroud in our Way Up North segment. She's a representative from the Ashland area, and we'll be talking about what she's working on through the Wisconsin legislature. Brittany Merlot is off. We have details on our local weather forecasts throughout the course of the day on your local Civic Media radio station. And now it's time for the day's first round of our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. This is where you get that Civic Media app out. Call up one of the stations and use the text feature. Text us the keyword that I'm about to give you before 8 o'clock. There will be 7 chances to play throughout the course of the day. You can enter in every one of them. You could conceivably win a daily prize, which is $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. And then every entry is in the running for the grand prize. 2 club-level indoor seats. See Green Bay versus Minnesota. Playing a little football, a Green Bay home game on November 23rd, a gas card to get you to the game, total value of the package, $1,500 or more. A little fine print here. Every entry will get you a return message giving you a way to earn another entry linked to a specific activity like signing up for a newsletter, for example. And again, you can get the full rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. So if you're ready, the keyword to text us before 8 a.m. is WIN, W-I-N. Just text us the word WIN, and your next chance to enter will be during the 9 o'clock hour of Matt and Air on Air to go for the green and gold. Again, this hour's keyword is WIN. Text that in before 8 o'clock. All right, let's talk a bit about what happens if there's a government shutdown, not to mention all the budget cuts that are already taking place. And we've been talking at length with our friends at Main Street Alliance, representing small businesses around Wisconsin, and not just the business owners, but you know their employees and their customers, and all the people who don't have a lobby as big as, say, the big business lobbies do in Washington, D.C. Well, now, because of the potential for a government shutdown, Main Street Alliance has some of their members going to Capitol Hill, meeting with people like Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and House Leader Hakeem Jeffries. There will be a roundtable today in one case, and a rally to protect health care on the steps of the Capitol as well. And one of the folks who's there is Kara Pitt DeAndrea, executive director of a nonprofit daycare center in Milwaukee, and is joining us now to talk more about the activities and some of the stakes that are involved happening in Washington, D.C. Kara, good morning. How are you? Oh, Kara, I'm having a tough time hearing you here. I don't know if you're if you're on mute or not. Let's try that again. Can you hear me all right? Oh, no, I'm not able to hear you here. So I'll let you work on your settings for a sec here, and you just keep talking. And if I hear you, I'll pop you back up here in just a sec. But again, some of the things that they're going to be talking about here are how basically when you have a government shutdown, and this is going to impact childcare, this is going to impact single parents. It is a profession that is already chronically underfunded, and without certain government funding that's in there, it's going to be a lot tougher for parents and childcare providers to be able to do their work. And a lot of folks are not going to be able to do their work, or at least not get paid to do their work. Folks in the military, folks in the TSA, you know, some of us who are traveling in the coming days are bracing ourselves for potential delays as a result, because if people are expected to work and not get paid, and then they're asked to take extra shifts, they're not necessarily likely to do that. So this is just some of the many ways that a shutdown could impact us. Kara, let me try you again. Are you able to speak to us now? Let's see. Nope. Oh, gosh, I'm still not getting your voice there. So I'll let you work on that here while I continue on to talk about some of the other news, and we'll bring Kara back in just a little bit here. I did want to mention in other headlines that there has been some test drilling going on in northern Wisconsin. And some of the results of that test drilling are now coming in that have signified the discovery of gold and copper deposits. And according to a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Laura Schulte, you know, this could conceivably be a next step for having Wisconsin see it is first, could see its first mine in decades. It's a company called Green Light Metals, which has been doing the drilling outside of Medford, drilling six very deep holes to access a rocky layer that is home to the minerals. And then there will be some more drilling that is going to get done. And it is the first of many steps that would be needed before there'd be anything resembling mining. But before we even get into the trouble with the mining, we have to keep in mind just the drilling of the holes themselves, the test boring, is also something that can be an issue because of all of the sediment that it brings up, the possibility of contaminants getting in. This is all something that should be tightly regulated. And I know some people think that regulation is this dirty word, and they're always trying to cut regulations. I'm kind of a fan of having tough regulations on the environment and making sure that if you're going to do anything, that you do it safely. You know, this isn't about, say, not having a mine, for example, but maybe having a mine that you can prove operates safely and does not contaminate, not only when it's operating, but after it has been capped or otherwise closed down safely. There was a law on the books in Wisconsin for many years that said exactly that, said for you to get permission to operate a mine in Wisconsin that could harm the environment, you have to show that you have operated a mine somewhere else for a number of years and have operated it safely, and that for years afterwards, it has not polluted the environment. Clearly, you know what you're doing, and you're more likely to get a permit to operate a mine here in Wisconsin. One of the leaders of killing that kind of protection was a then state senator by the name of Tom Tiffany, who is now the congressman for northern Wisconsin and who is now a candidate for Wisconsin governor. And he loves to talk about the jobs that mining would bring. To him, this is all about the money and the jobs that would come in, and that environmental concerns are overblown and that they would be addressed. Well, if they would be addressed, then why would you be against a rule that says you got to prove you can operate that mine safely? But that's not where Tom Tiffany and others stood. So Wisconsin becomes more vulnerable to a mine that could contaminate, you know, our water and also do damage to wetlands at the surface and much more. We've been hearing about the potential for drilling in northern Wisconsin for many, many years now. It's not really a surprise surprise that there are things like gold, copper, zinc, and other metals there. The geology of the region tells us that, yes, over the millennia that these deposits have been formed. But again, it's because of the geology of the area that the area is especially sensitive. And that's why you haven't seen mining. Either it's because the minerals are at extreme depths, or again, because of the way that the layers of the earth are laid out in this part of the area between, you know, the glaciers carving us out and everything else. This is just not your typical area where you're digging a hole and you're finding some gold and some zinc and some other things. There would be a lot that would need to happen, and a lot that would need to happen safely. And right now, we don't have any real assurance that that's exactly what's going to happen. So that's why even the test drilling to look for these minerals was concerning, because, again, there is that potential for contamination and for other damage to be done. Parker, do we have Kara on the phone now for us?
Yes, we should have her now here.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, hey, Kara. Good morning. I apologize for whatever our technical snafu was.
Yeah, no, sorry about that. Thanks for getting me in.
No, I appreciate you being here and telling us more about why you're in Washington, D.C. with Main Street Alliance and talking about, you know, the things that a government shutdown could do. So for the time that we've got left here, do you mind telling us just a little bit about what you do and why you decided to speak out in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely. So I am responsible for 22 employees. We have a very small to mid-sized business in Milwaukee. We serve 93 children, dozens of families over the years, hundreds. And I purchase my insurance through the marketplace. I'm very grateful to the Affordable Care Act. We, unfortunately, as a business, it is just so expensive for major medical. We help our staff navigate the marketplace, Badger Care, which of course is funded by Medicaid. And for us, it helps bridge the gap that is just so fiscally prohibitive for us. We as a daycare help bridge the gap for families who need slightly longer hours, highly supervised, care. We follow licensing. We are there for the families who other centers, there's wait lists, it doesn't fit. You know, we have our own wait list that we try to work with families to get them in, to support them so they can do their jobs. For me, personally and professionally, a government shutdown and a non-renewal of the Affordable Care Act risk, teachers having to make choices between staying in early childhood education or stepping out of the field. I have been able to stay in the industry and serve our community in Milwaukee because I have been able to subsidize. I've been able to, bridge the gap of my own health insurance. I'm a single mom. I don't have, a corporate health insurance. And this was a massive step and assistance for me to serve the community. So, creating a fractured system, more fractured system, really puts at jeopardy my staff, my ability to continue the quality care and the serve our community, and my ability potentially to stay in the public sector and serve our community directly.
This is Kara Pitt DeAndrea. She's a child care provider. She's in Washington, D.C., talking about the impact of a government shutdown and, frankly, the impact of things that have already been done within the government through the Trump Republican mega bill with its cuts to Affordable Care Act, enhanced tax credits, and then looming cuts to Medicaid and other things as well. Kara, are you able to hang on past the break so we can chat just a little bit more? Or do you have to run off?
Would love to. No, okay. We're good so far. Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Pat.
Sounds good. Okay. Kara, you stand by. You'll be joining us along with Dan Hagen from WJFW, Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander on the way. And then when we're all back together at 7:35, we will be talking to State Representative Angela Stroud from up in the Ashland area as well. And along the way, of course, you can give us comments and questions over at the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. And again, our keyword in our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest is WIN, W-I-N. I'm Pat Breitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
I am asking you to be a little more open-minded and have a little bit of your eyes open more. And while you may not be able to help somebody that you would like, you can by being a part of things at the Family Center, paying attention to these numbers, spreading the awareness about this stuff, and being on the right side of history.
Correct.
I was just going to lean into, I found a segue, and I love my segues.
Yep, and I was going to take that but I saw you going into it, so I did, but yeah.
Another great way of bringing awareness is coming up in October, because October is a very important month for us at the Family Center.
Very important month for us. Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And Wisconsin Rapids Family Center is actually going to be hosting its annual Domestic Violence Awareness Vigil. That vigil is held to honor those who have tragically lost their lives to domestic violence-related homicide in Wisconsin throughout the entire year of 2024. This event will be hosted at McMillan Library in their auditorium. And we would like to cordially invite all who would like to attend to join us on Thursday, October 23rd at 6 p.m. The theme for this year is Everyone Knows Someone. And that theme is just there to remind us to work together and to learn about the causes and the impacts of domestic violence in our community so that we might recognize warning signs and empower those affected by domestic violence.
I was talking to a younger person the other day in one of my classes, and I was telling her that I'm on the board of the Family Center and the work that's done over there and everything. And she was saying how this conversation started with she didn't know anybody who had really had dealt with something like this.
Sure.
And when we got talking about it and everything, I did not pry, but I do think that there were some things that were occurring to her that might have been under this umbrella that she had not realized.
Right.
And going back to that part of it, of how we are raised and how we grow up and the things we normalize.
Right.
And so much of that can happen with this topic. When we host events like this, when we have events like this, I think that we have another opportunity to help people. Bringing awareness, yes, and bringing attention to these things. But also, the stats speak for themselves.
Right.
We know there are people out there struggling and hurting that we're not able to help. And hopefully this gives them that ability to be able to do that, that other avenue, that other opening, that maybe even organic opportunity to be able to share their story and to get the help that they deserve and everything. Because no human being on the planet deserves this.
Correct.
There's no justification for this, period. End of sentence.
Absolutely not.
In a life in a time where everything feels gray. Like, it feels like there's a lot of gray in life. It's not just black and white anymore or anything. Yes. Here, you know, is one of those black and white topics. There is no other side to this. Domestic violence is wrong. Right. It's not something we should do. We should not hurt our loved ones. End of sentence. I feel like that's a pretty universal thing. I feel like that's something that we can mostly all of us can get behind.
Mostly can all agree on.
Yeah. Yes. And when it comes to an event like this, I also think that, yes, this is an event to bring attention to those people we have lost and hopefully save others from not. I also hope that it's an opportunity for people and certainly survivors to breathe a little, to enjoy, to be around some camaraderie, some like-minded people, some people that feel and think similarly. And while I know that this is a heavy heart that we are, attending this event, to keeping in mind with this event, I want also, we don't do any good to the people we have lost if we are just sad. That's right. Not how we accomplish, that's not how we make change. That's not how we get people to listen and to hear us. We have to look at tomorrow. We have to look at the future and look at a brighter day. And I think in order to do that, oftentimes you've got to look at silver linings. And here is, again, that silver lining, that we in this area have a domestic violence shelter, that we have the family center, that we have events like this. And when you show up to that event on October 23rd, I promise you, and I'd only say that word if I can back it up, I promise you, you're going to see community leaders there. You're going to see people there that maybe you wouldn't have thought would be there. And then people that you would. And you're going to see a lot of neighbors and friends and family and a lot of people that are all on the same page when it comes to this. It's a great, important event. And I also wanted to mention real quick that regardless if you are not touched by this topic or not, you are welcome. And I think it's a great idea for you to come. As a matter of fact, if you have not learned or don't know much about domestic violence, I think you're definitely the type of person to come down for this.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. And speaking of those community members that will be attending, that is also an evening where we take the opportunity to present awards to some of those community members that have been a rather large part of the work that we do, whether it be volunteering, providing the educational piece, etc., law enforcement.
To that point, Jessica, Mayor Matt Zacher will be down there with a proclamation in City Bridge glowing purple.
Yes.
That's awesome. Not surprised at all. Matt loves being at these type of events. They're very important to him. Homes and businesses, we're encouraging all out there to be a part of this as well. Maybe you're not able to be a part of the event. Even if you are, we have some great opportunities for you to show your support to the Family Center and show where you stand on the right side of history with this. And one of the ways is, I think, kind of cool, actually.
It is
really
cool.
The purple bulb. I like this.
Yeah, I'm excited to, for one, see the bridges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. The lighting of the bridges has been a really nice add to this.
So, Mayor is going to be illuminating our bridges in purple in proclamation of the solitude and hope that Domestic Violence Awareness Month brings to our community and to the nation. And you can also show your support by illuminating anything that you have, whether it be your porch light, a business marquee, like Jay like James mentioned, and showing support in that solidarity.
Mm-hmm. It's a very simple way to do it, but it can mean so much.
Yes.
You know, it takes 3-4 seconds. How long does it take a DJ to do a light bulb?
I'm
thinking about that. Yeah, yeah. It might take a little longer for me than others, but I'll get it done.
Right.
And it's simple. And you do that, and boom, right there, you are showing where you stand on this and showing solidarity. And while all of this said is important to community members, to young people out there, to so many, I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle either. It's hopefully another reminder to all the great people and the volunteers at the Family Center that you guys are not alone in this, that we have your back, that we are supportive.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You know, just like World Dairy Expo attendees, milk production in the United States coming from a lot of different regions. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Matt Tranel, dairy analyst with EverAg out of their Platteville office, points out that while Wisconsin, California, New York State continue to be dairy powerhouses, cows are ending up in a lot of different geographies.
Yeah, the West continues to grow pretty aggressively. California, Idaho specifically, seeing tremendous growth in Kansas and South Dakota, which is expected due to the new cheese plants that were built there. But I think everybody's kind of focused on how long the milking herd will be here. And they're also focused on some of these high components that are coming off the dairy farms.
Matt Tranel, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg out of their Platteville office. This discussion about where milk production is flourishing and also how federal milk orders impact those producers, part of the discussion happening beginning today at World Dairy Expo in Madison. Markets are next.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals could always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatestyields.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. On Monday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was up 2.25 cents at 164.5. 40-pound block cheese gained 4 on Monday at 166.5. Double A butter was up 4, 176 a pound. The October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, 13 cents stronger this morning at 17.12, while November's up 8, 16.71. The December new crop corn down 1.5 cents at 4.20. November soybeans are currently down 3 at 10.07. July wheat, that's currently 2 cents lower at 5.58 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling in a Tuesday trade session. And don't forget, Midwest Farm Report entire team active at World Dairy Expo, which officially opens its doors today, continues through Friday afternoon. Please follow us on social media, Midwest Farm Report. I am Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 79 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low dropping into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and once again mild, our high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on.
And save! Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, getting to know another candidate for the Wisconsin governor's race. State Senator Kelda Royce joins us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back on this Tuesday morning, September 30th, and we have a keyword for this hour for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could win some cash, some jewelry as part of a daily prize, or be in the running for a grand prize of some football tickets. See Green Bay versus Minnesota. The keyword to text us through the Civic Media app before 8 o'clock this morning is WIN, W-I-N, WIN, and then there will be another half dozen chances for you to enter the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest throughout the day on your favorite Civic Media shows. We were jumping right into talking with Kara out there in Washington, D.C., and so I did not get a chance to pass along a good morning from Rob in Tigerton, who said it's partly cloudy, 53 degrees. It's going to feel more like September 1st instead of October 1st. I have lawns to mow in the Wittenberg area. Love being outdoors working. Yesterday I was mowing outside. There was a lot of morning dew, and there are areas of grass that are still growing. Yeah, I know. We had to do that yesterday as well. And from Ardith, noting the new book out by Chuck Collins, Burned by Billionaires, says Chuck Collins would be a terrific guest. His ads for patriotic millionaires are so good. So, yes, that is definitely something that we'll be pursuing. Around this time every Tuesday, we do a segment called Way Up North, where we talk to some of our friends up in the Ashland, Bayfield, Superior areas, up along the south shore of Lake Superior. And that includes occasional visits with the state representative for the 73rd district. That would be Representative Angela Stroud from the Ashland area. Angela, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We've got the legislature kind of doing some of its fall work right now, but a lot of focus is, of course, on the federal government and the potential for a shutdown out there. It's something I would imagine you're going to start hearing more about, especially once it's likely to hit at midnight, people talking about the impact of what a federal shutdown means. It's not something any of us are really immune from when you think about it.
Yeah, and especially up here, we have so many federal agencies up here, from outdoor things like forestry and USGS, and there's so many federal intersections in this region. And so first time in this position where I've been a state representative and through a shutdown. So we'll see what it'll be like. I have no idea what to expect, but that's been the theme for the last 8 months. So more of the same, I guess.
It really has been. And, I was looking at a series that Spectrum News is doing, getting to know all of the legislators, and they recently put one up from an interview they did with you. And one of the things that really stuck with me was you saying that the job is actually a little bit more basic than people think. You hear about all the conspiracies and all the rumors. And I recall that as well, going from, working in a newsroom to being a state senator, and that everybody wants this job to be more glamorous and they want it to be more clandestine and conspiratorial. It's really not if you strip away the baloney.
Totally. I make $60,000 a year to try to help to figure out how to fund schools and make our roads better. it's public service. I mean, it's really, really basic. And so many of the things that we deal with, just how to have a functional society. And I think sometimes it would be helpful for people to just do some creative thinking and say okay, let's imagine you have a bunch of people living together who are trying to figure out how do we live together functionally and what do we need and how do we get services and provisions. That's what we're doing. That's actually what we're doing. This is what government is. And so, yeah, we deal with really basic things. Sometimes the things we deal with are more complex or controversial, but the core of what we do is just, you know, we need to collect revenues and then we need to distribute those to make sure that people have good lives and really basic things. And so that's the core of government. And I think we need some civic education around those ideas.
We truly do, because, again, it should be the idea of public service, and you can disagree with how to do it, but at its heart is still public service and solving problems. And somewhere along the way, that other mindset took hold of, we're not here for public service. We're here to win. We're here to win or lose. We're not so much here to govern as we are to rule. And to do that, we need complete dominance and power. So we need to raise all kind of money to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somewhere along the line, we lost, you know, sight of what we are at our most basic, is that notion of public service. Is that now too naive of a view that we could ask for more legislators who actually embrace that kind of mindset?
No, I think it's what the public is thirsty for. I think most people just want people who are in it for the right reasons. And the vast majority of elected officials, I believe, are in it for the right reasons. But the problem, I think, is that in recent years, we've seen a really perverse incentive dynamic develop, where the more outrageous you are, the more controversial, the more just kind of ridiculous, frankly, you are, the more attention you get. And with the decline of local newspapers and the fracturing of media, attention is the most important currency. And so, unfortunately, we have this reality where if you can get the most attention possible, you have the highest likelihood of success in politics. And so it's not about, are you reasonable? Are you committed to good governance? Do you really want to try to figure out results? It's, do you have the capacity to get people to pay attention to you?
You're talking like a sociologist over here. And from what I saw in the Spectrum interview, that's apparently something in your background.
Yeah. I was a sociology professor before doing this. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what sociology is, but it's the systematic study of society. So my whole adult life, well, basically starting from when I was 18, I have been committed to trying to figure out why the world works the way that it does. And it's very helpful in this job, I have to say.
Without a doubt. And yet we also learned not just the serious sociology side of things, but I mean, I was not prepared for your answer to favorite movie.
Okay, it's Spaceballs. Okay. The reality is I don't watch movies over and over again like many people do. And mm-hmm. the one movie that I have seen dozens of times, maybe, it's Spaceballs. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that my best friend, when I was little, we watched it religiously. We would divide up the roles. We would repeat the lines. So it's a movie that I know better than any other movie. And, you know, it is my favorite. I have to say, I like absurd comedies.
Look, anything Mel Brooks, I mean, I'm in. But there was, when you're doing stories like this, you think, okay, these are pretty run of the mill. We just ask the state representative some questions. And then there's this moment where off camera, somebody says, you know, they're making a Spaceball sequel. And the look on your face is just like surprise and joy all together that, you know, a few weeks back, which says something about how busy you're working, that you missed the announcement that Rick Moranis and others are working on a Spaceballs too.
I mean, there's not often lately where there's just news you weren't expecting that's really shocking and it's pure joy. So Spaceballs 2 being announced in that moment, yeah, that was pure joy. That's what you saw on my face.
Yeah, it was. So Rick Moranis, Bill Pullman, Daphne Zuniga, all confirmed for this 1987 film that's going to have a remake, which I really, really hope is good, because that, you know the thing with remakes, you know, for every Godfather 2, you know, there's an Anchorman 2, which is, you know, it's okay. It's nice to see the gang back together, but it's never going to be quite the same. And that's
Unfortunately, this feels a bit like the movie industry grasping for something that'll make some money in a time when they can't figure out how to make money. You know, the world has changed so much, and we're seeing all of these sort of fits and starts of people trying to figure it out. And so I fear it'll be that, but all I can do is hope for the best.
Oh, you have to. Yeah. I mean, I always know when I hear some kind of a sequel like that, like I'm in, I'm going, you know, we had the one, I went to one just a couple of months back and it wasn't, Police Squad. the Naked Gun. You know, it was good to see everybody together. It's not going to be the same, but I'm still glad you went. You know, it's like a family reunion. They're not all going to be, you know, the best family reunion ever. We're talking to State Representative Angela Stroud from Ashland about some matters way up north. And I was talking about one of them in our last half hour that involves the drilling for precious metals like, you know, gold and zinc and other things in northern Wisconsin. And we talked about how then state senator, now congressman and gubernatorial candidate Tom Tiffany had been one of the leading voices to scrap the precautions that are in place before any kind of a new mine could begin operating in northern Wisconsin. Well, that's, you know, that's literally your neck of the woods. And so when you learned about, you know, the test drilling that's going on, obviously any mining would still be years away, but that's years of casting a wary eye on, you know, just what kind of an operation would be involved in all of this, Angela.
I just think, you know, it's 2025. Have we not learned the lessons of the past? You know, we have one planet, we have one watershed in this region, and I know we need resources and precious minerals and all of that. I acknowledge that, and I am realistic about that, but you just identified it. It's not do we mine or do we not mine. It's if we are going to mine, it must be with the highest standard of precaution and protection of our environment. And so for people to simultaneously promote extraction at the same time that they're watering down or trying to strip away environmental protection, that is 1,000 red flags, 1,000,000,000 red flags. And it's just another example of why Tom Tiffany is not fit to be governor. We have to be thinking about the big picture, not the small picture of whatever industry is backing your campaign or candidacy, or a worldview that says that extract, extract, extract is the highest order value. There are bigger picture values. And one watershed, the most important water in the world, in my opinion, and it's our job to protect it. So, you know, I think that we can't have narrow thinking on these issues. We have to have broad thinking and really thinking about ecosystem mind views, and not just what's going to make money for some company.
And frankly, it does put another issue in front of voters for 2026, is over those next 2-4 years, who do you want in the governor's mansion? Who do you want in the legislature when it comes to either, you know, again, looking out for your long-term health, or just, like you said, that short-term extraction? And it kind of takes us to, you know, ending where we began, and this whole notion of service. And service goes beyond the next election day. If we could just get people looking beyond the next election day, you know, whether it politically benefits them or not, we'd probably be in a lot better place. And I again hope that we're getting there in the coming election cycle. But, you know, I just hope voters are, you know, keeping that in mind as they look at the parade of candidates already coming into the 2026 race.
I know. And you know, on that point, thinking about things like economic development, you have to have the capacity to think about economic development and the future. So it's not jobs just today, but will there be jobs here 5-7 years from now? Or are you going to ruin the environment so much that you're going to collapse the economy? And so that sort of way of thinking is, I just don't see it with someone like Tom Tiffany. I mean, you're right. I mean, he tries to follow the Trump playbook. You know, it's me now, and it's culture wars, and it's getting attention in these really toxic ways. And, you know, it's just, he's not fit for the job. I mean, just not fit for the job. We need someone who's a true public servant, and he is certainly not one of them.
Well, and, you know, the other part of that then is that we will be getting a new congressional representative for the 7th district. And I think we're going to hear some news about that, if not today, then tomorrow. And obviously, we'll want to get your reaction to developments in the 7th congressional district as we move into 2026 as well. State Representative Angela Stroud from Ashland, great to visit with you as always, Angela. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Still ahead, we're going to be talking to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. He's going to join us live from the nation's capital to talk about the potential for a government shutdown. And then for more on Wisconsin political news, we'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey,
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025, but what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care, together we build better lives.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this Monday, September 29th, 2025, I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. We have Reverend Beth Hathager with us. Beth, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Alice Levine with us. Alice, it's always good to see you. How you been?
I've been good. It's Lavin.
Lavin? Did I say it wrong? Sorry. Lavin? Okay. You appreciate that. Thank you so much. And always appreciate you joining us, Alice. Thanks a lot for being here. Thank you both for being here. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple of events, key events going on over there. But first off, want to start off with the community book sale happening October 9th in Teth, Beth.
Yes, it's coming up. It's our annual sale. It's also going to be the 11th. That's our bag sale that Saturday. It's when you can come and get a bag of books for $2. Put as many books as you can in that bag. We'll give you a paper bag and take that home for $2. The other 2 days, most of our books are $1. We do have some rare books and some series books that we specially price, but we are busy getting that ready. It begins at, I believe, 8:30 on all three of those days. Goes till 6 o'clock on Thursday and Friday and till 1 o'clock on Saturday.
It's a popular event, one that's so popular that when we first moved to this area, it was one of the early things that we had heard about. And it's a good event, but it also comes with a lot of heart with it because the proceeds for this go into something very special.
That's right. It all goes to scholarships at Mid-State Technical College for non-traditional students. So when the book sale was originally created by the American Association of University Women, they set up scholarships specifically for women who had been stay-at-home moms that were looking to create a career and go out and get a job. So they wanted to create a scholarship to make that easier for these women. As it's progressed, we've kind of said, let's make it more open and to a non-traditional student, especially after COVID, when there are so many people that are changing careers. If you're not a high schooler coming into college, there weren't a lot of scholarship options. So all of the proceeds from this sale go towards scholarship to help those that are doing something non-traditional, getting a second career, maybe changing careers, to give them that opportunity.
It's a wonderful thing to be able to do, especially for a gray area of our society that we don't always get a lot of attention to. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to see that you guys see that, notice that, and have been doing this. And you've been doing this for a couple of years, this particular way of doing it.
Yes, I think we've been doing this, Alice has been with it for 3 years, but the book sale itself we've had probably for 10 or 15 years now.
And when it comes to the money that you're spending, there's that part of it, too, that these books are reasonably priced. Doesn't feel like I'm giving it justifying it. Like there is way lower than reasonably priced, I would say, is probably the better way I can put it.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that it's affordable for everyone. Alice has been doing a great job of getting it organized and making sure things are ready to go. And we actually raised the price a little bit ago on some of the books. But they're still, a lot less than what you would go to a bookstore to get.
Yeah, when it comes to that prep, can we touch on that just a little bit? Because I love the audience to know a little bit of not only they love to know how the sausage is made, but I just hopefully it brings a little more appreciation for everything it takes to make this event happen. These books are collected throughout the year, right, Beth, at your book bins and that, and Alice?
The book bin gets put out on Memorial Day weekend, and then we usually bring it in on September 15th so we can get things from May until now, they're still sorting books. I have a really great lady, Rosemary, who takes control of it. She sets up she doesn't set up the tables, but she gets the books all sorted and put in boxes. So when we come in, we can just take the box and put it on the correct table.
Now, Alice, it is the majority, if not all, volunteers doing this work, right?
Correct. Yep.
And not only does that take time, but then separating these, as you're saying there and everything, and then separating them by, because you guys, when my mom was blown away by this part, maybe more than anything else, the prices, yes, the baked stuff, we'll talk about that in a moment. But when she came in and the organization of the basement and the way that this is all set up and you guys separating these by genre and that.
Correct. We have like cookbooks, fitness, young adult, fiction, paperback. We have all kinds. Every genre possible, I think. And we just got new signs, so they're beautiful, so people can, excuse me, see like what table they want to go to right away.
Yeah.
And we want to give a big thank you out to Quality Plus Printing and Phil for making those signs for us. They worked with us. There were probably 5 different emails back and forth to make sure that they were just the way that we wanted them, and they turned out beautifully.
Mm-hmm. And all that being said, and this is all really wonderful and everything, but I cannot always wait to get to the free baked goods and coffee while you browse. There is never better baked goods than the ones you find at church and churchgoers make. That's just verbatim. That's coming from me. It's the truth, people. And that is a real, in all seriousness, that is a really sweet part of this that I think shows the above and beyond of this event.
Yeah, and that pun was not even intended. But yeah, the sweets and the baked goods are made by the members of our congregation, and it's wonderful to have a place. We'll have coffee and other beverages, some comfy chairs, so that if you wanted to peruse the books and look through them before you buy them, you have a chance to do that as well.
You know, and I feel like I skated past it too quickly and everything, because this event is so popular and it's been talked about for so long and everything that I guess it's just common knowledge, but we have normalized it a little bit. The price of these books is so affordable for families and any family out there listening. And we have so many nonprofits that do little things like this all the time that we talk about in these interviews and everything, but I don't think we really take a moment to just appreciate where everything is being risen nowadays. And the price of everything is higher than it was a year or two ago or something. We see so many of our great nonprofits and churches out there, different organizations in particular, just doing this, just keeping these sales and keeping these numbers where we've always seen them. And it is so appreciated by this community that we're, and noted, and hopefully gets even more people out there to want to get some of these books. Beth, we were talking about the dates and times of this. Again, October 9th and 10th, 8:30 to 6. And then October 11th, 8:30 to 1. October 11th is unique for not just the time, but this is the famous bag sale part of this.
Right. For $2, we'll give you a grocery paper bag, and you go through and you fill that bag, and you take all of those books home for just $2.
You know those moments where your parents embarrass you a little bit, and you never really forget them or anything? That usually happens when you're a kid, you know, when you're younger. I didn't really have a lot of that with my parents growing up. It wasn't until this moment in particular that I could still remember my mother, like, basically almost refusing and wanting to pay more. She just didn't believe it. She just, no way that she fit all those.
You were listening to The Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a rare in-person gathering of top military generals from around the world, has gotten underway at Quantico Marine Base in Virginia. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth called for the meeting, though military commanders were not given many details. They were just told to get here within days to hear him discuss his priorities.
The clock is ticking toward a midnight deadline to avoid a government shutdown. Correspondent Nicole Killian.
Across from the Capitol, some federal workers are bracing for impact as the White House has asked agencies to consider more mass layoffs for programs that don't align with the president's priorities if a shutdown occurs.
Sources tell CBS News Hamas appears receptive to President Trump's Gaza peace plan. CBS's Deborah Patta says there could be significant consequences for them.
Ending the war will result in a bitter trade-off, disarmament, and potential exile from Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.